98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
Good morning. It is 8:05. It is a Thursday morning. Thank you for being with us. Cameron Eisenberg is not with me today because we have basketball tonight, so he'll be producing basketball this evening. But this morning on the program, we've got an interesting topic. It's a topic we've kicked around in this region for a long time now, really ever since Northern Oregon Regional Correctional Facility was established. And we've got Ed Weathers, NorCor board member and Hood River County Commissioner with us. We're going to talk about some of the work they've been doing on trying to stabilize the finances, I think is a good way to put it, for that facility. And where we can get away from some of the, at times, tough questions that have had to be asked about, county share for NorCor, et cetera. And there's all sorts of different factors here. And we'll talk to Ed about all that on the program here coming up in just a few moments. But first, as we always do, let's tell you what this day has meant and it means, at least to some people. 1901, Britain's Queen Victoria died at the age of 81 after a reign of more than 63 years. She was succeeded by her eldest son, Edward VII. 1944, during World War II, Allied forces began landing at Anzio in Italy. 1947, America's first commercially licensed television station west of the Mississippi, KTLA in Los Angeles, made its official debut. 1953, the Arthur Miller drama The Crucible opened at the Martin Beck Theater in New York. 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court in its Roe v. Wade decision declared a nationwide constitutional right to abortion. 1973, also on this day, former President Lyndon B. Johnson died at his Texas ranch at the age of 64. 1998, Theodore Kaczynski pled guilty in Sacramento to being the Unabomber, responsible for 3 deaths and 23 injuries, in return for his sentence of life in prison without parole. And in 2008, actor Heath Ledger, at the age of 28, found dead of an accidental prescription overdose in a New York City apartment. Our days for today... It is Answer Your Cat's Questions Day today, for whatever reason, if you have a cat. It's Clashing Clothes Day. This is the day to not match everything. You definitely want to celebrate this one around here. It's Come In From the Cold Day. Man, we've had that bone-chilling cold now for a few days. It is Dance of the Seven Veils Day today, and it's National Polka Dot Day, which probably will help with the clashing clothes thing. Food for today. We got some good stuff here. It's National Southern Food Day today. So this is the day for Southern cooking. A personal favorite of mine. It's National Hot Sauce Day today. And it is National Blonde Brownie Day today to finish things off. So that sounds like a good dessert at the end of the day. There it is for what it's worth. Might not be a whole lot. 8:08 in the morning when we come back. Ed Weathers with us right after this.
You've created a cozy home retreat. Now let Carrier provide the quiet, efficient heating you can depend on all winter with a range of innovative solutions that deliver premium comfort and warmth. Call Oregon Equipment for comfort you can count on. Proudly living local, buying local, and supporting local since 1946. Oregon Equipment wishes you a wonderful, warm holiday season. Visit OregonEquipment.com. Carrier, for the world we share.
Did you know Skyline Health in White Salmon has its very own sports medicine doc superstar? That's right. Dr. Ryan Petering trained at OHSU, cared for professional Nike athletes, and even spent more than 15 years teaching other doctors how it's done. From sporting injuries to arthritis, he's here to help you move better, feel stronger, and keep doing the things you love. Want to live life to its fullest? Step right up and visit MySkylineHealth.org. Skyline Health, world-class care right here at home.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you. Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And it is 8:10 in the morning. Ed Weathers, wrap you up with us, Hood River County Commissioner and NorCor Board Member, the County Representative on NorCor. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show today.
And last month, and this was kind of, maybe didn't get the news coverage it maybe would have if not for the fact that the meeting was actually held while there was a lot of trees falling and flooding going on. But NorCor Board got together and you held a work session and you got a report on really the finances of NorCor. And maybe we should, you know, we'll back up here before we dive into this a little bit into some of the history of NorCor itself. And there are probably a lot of people now who maybe don't recall or weren't around for how this regional jail came to be. I mean, how many years have we been doing this now? This has been like 30 years or so? I mean, it's been a long time.
It was certainly before I jumped into the political arena.
Yeah, yes, it was.
It's been quite some time for sure. But I think you're right on the timeline.
Mm-hmm. What has always been kind of a common thread over the years has been trying to maintain the balance sheet for NorCor, where it doesn't become such a burden for the four counties involved, Hood River, Wasco, Gillam, and Sherman counties. And contracts were always a big part of the initial strategy. And what are we finding now when it comes to outside contracts for providing beds to agencies?
Well, it's a challenge, and I mm-hmm. think that's why the model is, I don't want to say broken, but it is a challenge because contracts can come and go. In particular, our longstanding contract with another county in Oregon was terminated last year. That was a nearly $700,000 a year contract. So a lot of our budget relies on contracts, whether it be U.S. Marshals, outside contracts on the juvenile side, OYA, other programming contracts. So as those contracts come and go and heads to the beds go up and down, that creates the variability in the funding source. And I would say the idea of NorCor is great. It's just the instability of the funding is a real challenge, and it has been. We've had times in the past years where it's not been a challenge at all, but we're kind of working out of that cycle into a real challenge. And, you know, county budgets are tight as well. So the idea that there's just an additional $700,000 or $800,000 that the Hood River County can pony up to cover NorCor costs, mm-hmm. our share is very unlikely.
You know, at the time this was done, the regional jail was a very unique concept. Is it still unique out there?
It is a unique concept. There are a lot of contracting with other jails, but to my knowledge, I believe this is the only one in the state mm-hmm. that the four counties run.
Have we seen the numbers, the local counties that are involved in this, the four counties, the numbers of beds needed jump for the counties themselves that may also make it harder to do contracting?
Not necessarily. That okay. number has been reasonably stable.
Mm-hmm.
We of course look at that every month, but that ebbs and flows.
Yeah,
of course.
Sure,
but
right.
it's not made any substantial mm-hmm. increase or decrease.
So how would you turn the financial state of NorCor right now? Is it is it stable? You know, you mentioned the one contract loss. I guess are we into an acute problem right now, or is this we need to prevent an acute problem?
I think we're closer to needing to prevent an acute problem. Our current adopted budget gives us an unappropriated at the end of the year of $75,000. That's not a month's payroll. That's a problem. We've had that for the last few years, but through unfortunately, inability to staff, mm-hmm. And better than forecasted revenues, we've not gotten to the end of the year with no cash. So, mm-hmm. and we're trending that way again. Mm-hmm. But again, the variability of the revenue streams is what scares me in the future.
I say, what would be a comfortable number for Norcor to be have it as an end of year balance? Have in reserve.
Well, that's something that we need to discuss as a group. We have we've not set those those minimums, but really? I'd say a couple million dollars at least in unappropriated. I would also say that we have put very meager amounts into capital reserves, uh-huh. and we have buildings and vehicles and all sorts of things that need maintenance. So
now, I think you've only been on the Norcor board, I think, for about a year. How long have you been on? 3 years. It's been 3 years.
3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I guess the point being, though, it's not like you've been there for the whole history of this.
No.
And what's, I guess it surprised me a little bit, because the board is made up of county commissioners, to hear that there really isn't a reserve, like a percentage of, here's where we want to be percentage of reserve, because every county I know of has usually a kind of a standard they set. I know Hood River County, I believe, has one.
Yes.
I think it's 10% or something
yes.
like that that you want to have. So I guess surprised me that Norcor didn't have that from the outset.
I think that speaks to where the budget has been over the last number of years and our inability to budget for those things. And I've been very vocal personally that those benchmarks need to be in place. Mm-hmm. And I would say, for people who are asking, you know, are we continuing to sing the same old song and dance? Yes. But we have a motivated board currently that wants to fix this problem and doesn't want to fall off the cliff and scream as we're falling off the cliff.
So when we talk about, you know, revenue options and contracts here, I'll start, you know, federal contracts are problematic at this point, aren't they? I mean, not just from a... with some state law issues, but also from public relations issues. I think some of the public relations issues Norcor has had in the last few years has certainly involved some of the federal contracts it's had. What's the status of those now? I know you guys did a release a couple of weeks ago, and I don't have it in front of me, but there was kind of a change as far as, if I remember correctly, what Norcor will accept from the federal government, from the immigration specifically.
So, you know, that's kind of delving into operations, which
sure.
I don't want to get too far, but I will say our U.S. Marshals contract is the largest revenue source, mm-hmm. outside revenue contract source, on the adult side. Mm-hmm. The choice that was made by the sheriffs was to distance us from anything that may be deemed as illegal entry.
Right.
And while illegal reentry is a crime, mm-hmm. these are illegal reentries. They chose to mm-hmm. not take those individuals in, basically to keep ourselves from potential litigation.
And this gets into state sanctuary laws at that
Correct.
Point. I mean, you get in the crosshairs of that, basically.
Yes.
So when you remove those, I guess this is where I went on the money side. If you remove those sort of intakes, do we know how that really affects the rest of the federal contract? Are we looking at, does that impact the revenue side greatly, or do we know yet?
Our total budget is $13.7 million, and last year the budgeted marshals contract this year is $2.1 million. So it's substantial.
Yes.
I asked that very question. Will setting criteria on which marshals, AICs we take, mm-hmm. and the sheriffs were very confident that was not going to hurt our relationship, and that it is a good relationship that we both need, mm-hmm. and is understanding. So they're the ones dealing with the marshals. I have mm-hmm. to take them for their word, and I am confident that will be the case.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I remember right, which county is the one that canceled? I remember Benton County was a pretty big customer at one point. Is that the cancellation?
Correct.
Do we have other counties in Oregon? right now as clients?
Very no.
Not
contracts. Just there are some small. There are some. But very, very insignificant.
I would think, you know, facilities issues are not unique to for jails to these counties. It's an issue everywhere. I would think there is a market there, but I guess is that part of what this going through this process is going to be to determine what kind of market there actually is for outside contracting with these jails?
We didn't get into that. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that a lot with the sheriffs, and there's a lot of legislative issues that are a problem, like pre-sentencing. AICs have to be in a neighboring county, so it can't be from across the state. So that becomes problematic. You have transport issues. You have a whole bunch of issues. So it's becoming a challenge. Mm-hmm. It's becoming a challenge, and it's very competitive market. Mm-hmm. And you know, our last contract county, they just, quite frankly, I'm sure, found a better deal that was better for them and closer for them.
Right, and yeah, because with its location, the Dalles, you know, you are cut off from what could potentially be markets across the river. But I covered the Klickitat County thing here ago. The border is a big deal in the jail side.
That again too. There's all, I don't want to get over my skis on the operation side, but there's some sentencing issues between the two states and things like that make it a little more problematic.
Is the state a potential customer, or you know, it seems like over the years, one of the things I would hear on occasion is the state needs beds, and would we potentially be a source for them? Yeah. Now, I assume that really you're also limited by it. Probably you have to have a certain level of inmate that you can take in. I assume here because you're not a maximum security jail in any way, shape, or form. So I imagine that is also a limiting factor in terms of bringing outside revenue.
Well, that is, but we're nowhere near our capacity.
Okay.
So we have spaces available. We are staffed adequately.
Yeah.
And to go there's a threshold, and I don't have that in front of me, where if we were up considerably, we would need to staff up more, which is also problematic because that takes time.
Right. I'm talking about the revenue side, but the expense size plays a big role, obviously, in this.
Absolutely.
And the impression I get, I mean, I listened to a good part of the work session when I finally got the chance after all the storms and everything. It would appear to me, I mean, every governmental entity, as you know, deals with inflation. Every entity in business deals with inflation. But it seemed to me, in just listening, that the inflation in because of other factors besides just an economic of jail costs is fairly extraordinary. Is that the impression that I should have?
It is. Also, you know, a big portion of those expenses are meals.
Mm-hmm.
And food contracts have gone up immensely over the last number of years. That's not unique to jails or food contracts. That's, we all are feeling that, right? So there it is. But just the cost of doing business, payroll has gone up considerably, and it's not because of additions. It's, you know, we have bargaining agreements with the labor unions and such, and it's just a reality that we live in today.
But I was also thinking on this, and I'm going to take a break here in a moment after I ask this question and you answer it. But yeah, how about, you know, the impact of various court and legislative decisions on the bottom line? I mean, because jails are affected by rulings, it seems, almost every day. How much have we seen the cost, or can we even compute this, the cost of operations increase because of various state or federal law changes or court rulings that mandate a change for jails?
I'm sure there's some in there, and really, I wouldn't be the right person to ask that question. The sheriffs would be would be easier to answer that question.
But I would imagine, though, that's got to play a role in this in some way.
Certainly it does. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that it does. Again, like the pre-sentencing having to be a neighboring county, that's an example, right?
Yeah, and that one more takes away just from the revenue side, but it plays a role for here as well. I'm going to take a break here. We'll come back and we'll continue the conversation here a bit. And I want to get in because you're full at the work session. There were a number of options given, and then there was one part of it that really I thought kind of changed maybe an assumption I had that I decided maybe a lot of people have had that maybe has been wrong over the years. I'm going to ask about that when we come back as MCT continues right after this.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
Got a drip that just won't quit? Or a shower that turns cold right when you need it hot? When plumbing goes sideways in the Columbia Gorge, Chinook Plumbing is the family-owned team that's been setting it right since 1989. At Chinook Plumbing, we treat every plumbing problem like it's happening in our own home. From clogged drains to water heaters, gas lines, remodels, sewer and water line replacements, and those unexpected emergencies. We've got you covered. Give us a call or visit us at ChinookPlumbingHoodRiver.com. CCB number 240452.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
Hey, 8:27 in the morning, we're talking NorCor with NorCor board member and Hood River County Commissioner Ed Weathers. Ed, part of that work session was the board received really kind of three, they called them options, but I'll say scenarios, actually became four. To try to illustrate various, I guess, you know, if you take different variables and plug them in, what did you take out of those reports yourself as a board member?
Well, if you don't mind, let me back up a little bit. Why we're here?
Yeah. Okay.
So the board felt that we needed to do something, and There was chatter within the organization about going out and asking the public for this gap in funding. I was pretty adamant that we had better be ready, and we had better look at all avenues and potential paths to sustainability or not sustainability, and the start would be an assessment of the organization. So we did that. That's why we did that.
Okay.
You know, what are not options listed that are, option number one is doing nothing.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. What that implies is if you do nothing, then you're either going to have to ask the public, or you're going to have to ask the four counties for more share. Or you're going to have to find other solutions. So those are implied.
Mm-hmm.
The three options that we reported on are things that are within our control given our current funding levels. So I just want to make that clear.
Right.
These are not our only options.
Sure. Yeah.
These are ones that that we have control over now.
I almost call them more scenarios than options.
They're scenarios.
Options to be start to imply you're in a different phase of this discussion. Of
correct.
Here are the options to go get the money. This to me was a little more okay. If we like you said, you do nothing, here's where we're at. If we do X, here's where we go to, et cetera.
Sure.
And I guess here's the part that surprised me a little bit, and maybe we haven't talked about this enough. NorCor has an adult side and a juvenile side, and I haven't really looked at Norcore closely for a few years now. I mean, the last time I really remember diving into this really heavily, frequently on the program, was frankly back when Hood River County Commission Chair Ron Rivers and Wasco County Commissioner Rod Runyon were disputing a lot of things between each other. It was a very rancorous situation at the time for Norcore, which they worked through. But one of the things I always got the impression of was the juvenile side was where it was really difficult to make it all pencil. And I think it was 2.5 is what it was called, option 2.5. Seemed to show the adult side isn't penciling either, even if you took everything away on the juvenile side. And I guess that was what was surprising to me. It was an assumption I always had or a viewpoint that was frankly blown to bits when I saw that option. Is that how I should read that, or is that maybe a little too simplistic?
I don't believe it's too simplistic. Shutting down any particular service, I'm going to be careful in saying adult or juvenile, buys time for the organization. It doesn't solve the problem.
Right.
So just want to make that clear. Mm-hmm. And in our report, it's probably nuanced, but you notice that they're findings.
Yes.
They're not recommendations.
Right, exactly. That's why I'm trying to be careful. It's like they said options like on the screen, but there are more scenarios and just kind of giving, hey, if we move this and this, this is what it looks like. You know, it was more of an exercise than anything else.
So I think the reason that we carefully worded that is we have four counties that probably have varying needs, wants, and desires. So Hood River County was the first county to have a presentation from the Norcore staff and the cross-functional team that worked on this. Upcoming meetings will be, there's a meeting, joint meeting of Sherman Gillum County on February the 4th, I believe, and in Wasco on February the 18th. So as the counties start digesting this individually, as I see it, that's an opportunity for us to talk and say, okay, what's on the table, what's not on the table?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Hood River's situation may not be the same as the other three counties.
And that brings up an interesting point here. The four members of the Norcore Board are all county commissioners for their various counties. So really, you've got two hats here. On one hat, in one hat you have what you want to try to do to make Norcore a viable, functioning, and financially stable organization. And then you have the other hat you wear, which is you want Hood River County to be a viable, functioning, financially stable organization. And you and I both know that's a challenge right now. That's a real big challenge.
Yeah.
And the two don't necessarily run parallel, do they? I mean, there's a little conflict to that. Not to say that it completely runs head on, but maybe what's best for Norcore might not be best for an individual county.
I think that's an accurate statement. Therein lies the problem.
That really is the big one here.
I'll just say a few things. Whatever county needs somewhere to jail its adults in custody.
Every county does.
Every county does.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say the county passed a public safety levy. So that to me says that. Public safety is important to our community.
It passed it during COVID. I thought that was going to kill it, and it got passed by a lot. I mean, that spoke it spoke volumes for a lot of things, including, I think, also the trust that River County residents have in their sheriff. That was, and they've renewed it since. So, you know, I think that is there. Now, having said that, I mean, would there be a concern if, let's say, you went out for a revenue measure? Again, there's no decision about that. But if Norcore did, if I'm a Hood River County voter, I could see myself saying, hold on, I did this public safety measure. Jails are part of public safety. Shouldn't I have covered this in some way? I think that would be a tough argument to make.
You're spot on. The public safety measure, though, it was clear in my mind that this was funding patrol.
Yeah.
This wasn't funding the rest of the operation or the pieces and parts that, are part of public safety.
And that was in the campaign. I mean, I'm not, you know, that part is, you know, but I'm just, you know, there's always the variables there. What I guess lends to here, I mean, as we start to get into this, I don't detect Hood River County feels like it's got much wiggle room to up its contribution. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to speak to the other three yet because I haven't asked yet.
But let me back ahead. Up a little bit if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
That's going to be a choice of the full budget committee, mm-hmm. both the commissioners, the administration, and the public mm-hmm. part of the budget committee. So it's going to be part of the conversation.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. the numbers don't lie. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a bigger pie with mm-hmm. with less revenue to cover it. So we're going to have to make hard decisions and. But that would be a substantial shift in the services that we provide in this county if we fully funded NorCor mm-hmm. Without some sort of other measure or fewer services at the facility.
And to be honest, if the other three counties aren't of the same mind to do that, I'm not sure that works anyway. Just because, all four counties have been lockstep on that, essentially.
Yeah.
Or contractually bound, one of the two.
Sure.
So I'll come back to what I asked a little early, and we backtrack. After you saw the various, and obviously we don't have time to go into every detail of these scenarios that you were given. What in the end did you, as a NorCor board member, when in the end did you take out of those scenarios out of that work session, as far as what NorCor, not necessarily needs to do, but really what viable options were there?
I think it led to what I had already feared.
Okay.
I don't know that we caught a lot more, but I mean, that's been the discussion. The mm-hmm. the two primary are counties provide more money in one way or another, mm-hmm. or we provide fewer services. That's really the scenario when that's what I expected. Mm-hmm. Looking at outsourcing, administration, mm-hmm. we looked at that. That didn't really save us any money. Although on a mm-hmm. side note, we are kind of doing some partnering and positions, right. IT is examples.
I'm sure there are
outsourcing that.
There are some places you can do it, but does it really make a big dent in the issue?
No.
Did you leave that feeling that contracting really is no longer something that can be relied on?
It confirmed my fear that the variability of contracting is a challenge, and it is a threat to the viability of the organization.
So, did the exercise also? What it provides you also though is here's documentation of what we thought, and maybe even and also like in my case, correcting maybe what a pre-assumed belief kind of is that where the value of what was done is? Is now we've got something on paper to really be able to sink our teeth into.
Absolutely. That was the goal. Mm-hmm. That was the goal to get the four counties really being serious about resolving this issue. Mm-hmm. And secondarily, as I said, I was adamant that if we were to ask the public or ask the individual counties for a greater subsidy, that we had better have done our homework. Mm-hmm. And that assessment and the work that we have done is quite frankly necessary.
So you've got the work done, the assessment, at least to this stage. Where do we go from here? What's the next steps in this process?
I think the next steps are the four counties and their feelings and their direction to go forward. The four counties need to start having this discussion on what that direction is. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take time. I just also want to be clear that this is not do or die.
Right.
NorCor's not closing in 6 months if we don't do something.
You're not falling off the cliff. You're trying. You just see a cliff ahead.
Yes.
And you're trying to stop it from there. And as you mentioned also in that meeting, I zoomed forward to where just the discussion was taking place. And I heard the same. They talked about the revenue attempt, the levy attempt that failed. Mm-hmm. Actually, it passed in three counties. Wasco County, it did not. I think the main factor in that is Wasco County. There's a general impression, and I'm not going to say right or wrong, but general impression, the taxes are too high there at this point. And that changes. You never know how that's going to go.
I think also you probably need to remember back that there was a lot of protesting at that time, there were ICE detainees, it was in their backyard.
I heard that too, but you know what? I don't think that had played a big role in it. And the reason I say that is if it played that big a role in it, Hood River County, because of its voter background, mm-hmm. Hood River County would have killed it also. That's why I honestly don't think it played a small role. I think though it was the tax levels that were a bigger role, and not necessarily against NorCor. It was against. I hear this a lot from Wasco County people: is our taxes, property taxes, are too high. Then again, you can hear that from a lot of people, a lot of places. I've never met anybody who says my taxes are too low. Have you noticed that?
I don't know anybody that's willing to pay more.
Yes, yeah. We have. But anyway, but I guess where I was going to go to this here is if we go toward the let's go to the voters for revenue. What do you feel like the steps that have to be taken to make that a viable possibility to pass? Because we are in a different viewpoint right now, and you know as well as I do, in Hood River County anyway, there are a lot of asks coming here in the next little while for the city, Parks and Rec, and the school district, and they're going to be pretty big asks, to be honest, all three of them, yep, in some way. Now this gets into kind of the political feel for this. What do you think would have to, what has to line up for it to be worthwhile to go out and ask the voters?
Well, if that's the direction that the four counties want to go, and I'll just back up a second and say the NorCor board is keenly aware of the asks and the challenges that we're going to face.
And I just did Hood River County. Wasco County has got its own list. I'm not going to say I'm familiar with Sherman and Gillum, but everybody does.
Yeah. We're going to need a lot of effort from not only myself and the other counties' boards, but we're going to need really to work closely with community partners and really campaign and explain why this is important. In the end, voters are going to decide what's important to them. I think it does fall at our feet that we are very clear about what funding for the organization does or doesn't, and what may happen or is likely to happen if we aren't able to solve the financial issues in NorCor.
I'm going to ask one more question because it just came to my mind. Because you mentioned it, I really didn't delve into it. And that was the capital side of this facility.
Yep.
Which is, it's getting older. And as you mentioned, they have not had a lot of ability with their funding to be able to deal with some capital issues. It's the old deferred maintenance thing, and it never goes away.
Never goes away.
Is that as big a threat as just the operational side of the budget? Just what we might have to face coming down the road for maintaining that facility in a good working order?
I think you're always a threat if you don't have adequate capital reserves.
Yeah.
You're right. You have roofs and AC units and security and all sorts of things. And that, because you don't fund it appropriately, doesn't mean that those things aren't going to need maintenance at some point, and they will. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, and I've said it publicly, the budget that we're adopting is already a budget that is deficient for long-term sustainability, because we're not funding.
Right.
We are deferring maintenance, which is a common
theme
in the public sphere when you don't have money to operate.
And as you know, it never works out.
It does not.
Because the cost just gets greater. The inflation, we see this with the bridge, all the delays it unfortunately has had, not of their own making, but we've seen the cost of that double. Mm-hmm. And obviously this is a much smaller scale, but it's the same concept. And also then the fix gets more major and gets worse and worse and worse if you're keeping up with it. So, I mean, at this point, I assume part of the issue is not so much it's not willful neglect. It's the money you've got to run for operations. There just isn't the money there to do capital reserves.
That's correct.
Okay. So,
although in my time and even before I started on NorCor, They recognize that. The previous board recognized that. And be it meager, we've continued to plug a small amount in every year. And I'll use an example. People may not know, but Norcor has a rental property just right next door. With long-term tenants that we very much need to have, and we've had to put money in a leaking roof, and we're going to use a big chunk of that capital reserve that we now have to fix that roof, or we're not going to have a tenant, which is also a revenue stream. So
so you lose money one way or the other.
One way or the other,
and then of course, what happens if the catastrophic occurs? I mean, that's and that's something every Hood River County faces. That Wasco County faces that. Everybody does. Down the road. Ed Weathers, Norcor Board of Hood River County Commissioners. We are going to talk about this with various folks again here down the road. I'm sure we'll talk to some of the sheriffs. We'll talk to Scott Hagee at Wasco County. He's on the board there because this issue is going to crop up more. It just really appears like there is maybe a real desire right now, at least on your part, and it seems like on the others as well, to really kind of, I don't want to say once and for all because things are always challenging, but to really make a big dent in this and finally just kind of let's get this to where we have a little more, we're a little more certain what we're looking at in the future.
Well, I'll just say my philosophy as a Hood River County Board Commissioner, as well as a Norcor Board Commissioner, is I refuse to kick the can down the road. I'm not going to leave the county in a shambles because I don't want to make hard decisions. That's just not the right thing to do. It's not my DNA, and I don't think it's on any of our current commissioners' DNA. So, but I also firmly believe that it's taxpayer money, and they're going to tell us services that they require. And if we don't have the money to provide all the services that we're currently providing, then we'll have to provide fewer services. That's just... That's just a harsh reality, but it is our responsibility also to tell them what may go away. So,
and I suspect
that's what we're doing.
And we're going to have that discussion on the county side as well here, I have a feeling, as well.
We are.
847, thanks for doing this, and stick around a little extra time. We had another guest cancel, so we could dive into this pretty well. Enjoyed it.
Okay.
And thank you, Ed. Appreciate it.
All
847.
Right. Thanks for the time.
We'll be back right after this.
Are you in need of quality printing services in the Dalles area? Look no further than Bonds Printing. We offer a wide range of printing services, including business cards, brochures, flyers, and more. Our state-of-the-art equipment and expert team ensure that your printing needs are met with exceptional quality and timely delivery. We also offer custom design services to help bring your vision to life. For all your printing needs, trust Bonds Printing, 308 Union in downtown the Dalles.
No matter what the time of year, there's always something happening at Farm Grass Table. Stop in for your favorite flower, carts, edibles, plus daily deals, a loyalty program that earns you points, and special discounts for locals. Don't miss our in-store game with weekly prizes, just for fun. And getting here is easy. Exit 62 right off I-84 with free parking and a huge lot waiting for you. Farm Grass Table, your hometown dispensary, right off exit 62.
Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under the influence of this drug. For use only by adults 21 years of age or older. Keep out of the reach of children.
Craving bold flavors and a warm welcome? Head to Casa El Mirador in the Dalles. Known for their famous hot sizzling fajitas, Casa El Mirador serves up fresh, flavorful Mexican favorites that arrive steaming right to your table. But it's not just the food, it's the stellar hospitality that keeps locals coming back. From friendly service to generous portions and gold medal winning margaritas, every visit feels like a celebration. Come enjoy the sizzle and the fiesta of flavor at Casa El Mirador, online at CasaElMirador.com.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
8:48 in the morning. Big thanks to Ed Weathers for coming in here this morning and talking about this. I have blown up the format today, by the way. You may have noticed that. We'll do the news here coming up in a moment. We had a cancellation. CGCC was supposed to be on today, unavoidable. They're going to be on tomorrow at 8:35. We'll have Gardner's on hopefully at 8:10 tomorrow as well. And we're going to do the news here in a second. But we're going to talk about Norcor quite a bit, I have a feeling, over the next few months. And not just with Ed, obviously. Scott Hagee, Wasco County Commissioner, is on the Norcor board. We'll talk to Lane McGill and Matt English. That will get a little more operational side and what some of the issues are right now as far as, again, I you know, as Ed pointed out, they're not at a cliff right now. What you want to do is not get to the cliff. And the contracting situations are variable right now, without question. So, and that was a big part of the thought of NorCor and how it was all going to be paid for in the end. Back when this was done in the, I want to go back and say mid to late 90s. I was young when this happened. I was young in this job. I don't even think I was hosting this show at the time. Anyway, 8:50 in the morning, we put news way off here, so let's get you a news update before we get away. The Port of Hood River Commission gave staff the go-ahead to move forward on discussions to allow a stern wheeler being acquired by Malhood Railroad to use the commercial ship dock in the marina on a per-visit basis, but also had plenty of questions about compatibility with current uses. Commission President Heather Gehring said she had strong reservations about the vessel coming into the harbor with a narrow corridor leading to a multi-use area. Commissioner Tor Beaker said starting out on a per-visit basis would be a good way to test the viability of the plan.
And I think that also gives the existing marina tenants an opportunity to see what it's like having that vessel around sometimes. And that can help allow us, when we move to the strategic business plan, to make a more informed decision.
Commissioner Ben Shepherd said he had a lot of questions to be answered before he would enter into an agreement, including safety and environmental concerns, and also would not be in favor of anything that would lead to exclusive use of the marina for lengths of time. Clickitat County's Board of Health, which includes the County Commission, voted to raise the fee schedule for environmental health services. County Public Health Director Aaron Quinn said the fee schedule had not had an overhaul since 2014, and there has been 37% inflation in that time, along with increased requirements from the state of Washington.
So where something maybe took 10 minutes 5 years ago, now it's taking 20 minutes, or, you know, there's more paperwork, there's more overhead. So really looked at the pricing specifically around the cost of doing business today, and making, because these are fee-for-service services, ensuring that our time is being covered.
The new fees will go into effect on March 1st. Quinn added the intent moving forward to be to review the fees on an annual basis. Ballots will go out tomorrow to voters in the White Sand Valley School District for both the 21-year $77.8 million bond to create a K-12 campus at the current middle and high school site that would replace Whitson Elementary, and a 3-year renewal of the educational programs and operations levy. District Superintendent Rich Polkinghorn says approval of the bond, which has an estimated property tax impact of $1.66 per thousand of assessed value, would qualify the district for $34 million in state funding for the project and bring operational savings as well.
So our conservative estimate is it's about $500,000 or more in annual savings to the district by consolidating from three buildings to two.
The P&O levy rate would move up slightly from $1.57 a thousand to $1.61. Polkinghorn pointed out they are not seeking a capital levy in this election because they're asking for the bond measure. Ballots must be returned or postmarked by February 10th. About two dozen members of Oregon Construction, Electrical, and Iron Workers Unions came together in Arlington to launch a new labor coalition. Climate Jobs Oregon's been about a year in the making, according to union leaders at a press conference south of Arlington on Wednesday. 10 construction industry unions are represented in the coalition, including the Oregon AFL-CIO. The coalition's pitch is that in order to lower Oregonians' utility bills and meet Oregon's clean energy targets, including 100% clean electricity by 2040, the state needs hundreds of thousands of workers on clean energy projects and the stability, wages, and trainings that unions offer. Current temperatures, boy, they just really are changing. 29 in Stevenson, the Dalles, and Hood River right now. It's 8:53 in the morning. We will come back and really start finishing things up for you after this.
Ever feel nervous walking into a gun store for the first time? You are not alone.
Hi, I'm not sure where to start. This is my first time here.
Welcome, and don't worry, you're in good hands. Whether you're new to firearms or just looking for information, we're here to help. At Gorge Guns, we understand that buying a firearm is a big decision, especially if it's your first time. Our experienced and friendly staff are here to guide you every step of the way. We offer safety course information, personalized advice, and a welcome environment for all our customers. Feel free to ask any questions you have.
Wow, thank you. This makes me feel so much better.
Visit Gorge Guns today and experience a different kind of gun store, where knowledge, safety, and customer comfort come first.
I felt silly for being nervous, but they were so friendly and really helpful. I felt so comfortable and supported.
Visit Gorge Guns, the best little gun shop in the Gorge, at 1040 Tucker Road in Hood River, or online at gorgeguns.com.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. He's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
You still thinking job change in the new year?
Yeah, I need something that's in high demand and more stable in this economy.
IT?
Yeah, cybersecurity, maybe even AI.
That's what I did.
Really? How?
Went to My Computer Career. You don't need any prior experience, and you could start your new career in a matter of months. A lot of IT pros go to school there, too, to level up.
Sweet. Are classes online or on campus?
Both.
Wow, I'll check it out. Thanks.
Make this your year. Take the free career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.edu, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including VA benefits.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-555-1509. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. Well, you may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-555-1509. That's 800-555-1509. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-555-1509. 800-555-1509.
KIHR Weather for the Gorge.
Your local forecast brought to you by SheetFire. For all your fire protection needs and safety training, we're certified, mobile, local, and insured. 541-980-1181. 980-1181. That's SheetFire.
Cloudy skies are forecast today. Highs upper 30s, east wind at 10 miles per hour. We might see some clearing this evening. Lows low 30s and the east wind up to 10 miles per hour.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
8:57 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Thank you for being with us this morning. Tomorrow on this show, we're just going to talk Master Gardeners, get going with that again. I did drop an email, so hopefully I'll have one of our Wasco County Master Gardeners with us on the first part of the show. Second half of the show tomorrow will be what we plan to do today, but actually this works out pretty well. It was nice to be able to have a longer amount of time to talk about NorCor. But we will have Columbia Gorge Community College will be our subject on Friday on the show, on the second half. On a Monday, we'll talk City of Hood River with Abigail Elder, City Manager, and City Council President. Gladys Rivera will be here as well. Probably jump into their process as they try to narrow down. I think on Monday night, actually, they get the second set of polling as they prepare to go out for a bond measure. And we're kind of down to police station housing, it appears. But of course, the thing I couldn't help but note was not one of the proposals that were asked about. Now, one was not just a police housing combo. Now, it'll be interesting to see what they find out. But there was nothing that got above 50%. 47 was the high watermark. Oddly enough, for the package, it would be everything, the highest one, which I thought was counterintuitive. But that's what it showed. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Maybe what they need to see from the next set of polling to really feel good about moving forward on this. Also, we'll talk to a Clickitat County Commissioner on Monday. I'll check my calendar. I'm not sure which one it is. Tuesday, Mayor of the Dalles, Rich Mays, is going to join us on the show. And then Wednesday, Washington State District 17, State Representative David Stebe. And we'll also talk with the folks from WAGAP on Wednesday as well. So plenty coming up on Mid-Columbia today, but we are done for this morning. Eagles basketball tonight, by the way, against Putnam. We'll be on at 5:30. Girls will be first. Actually, no, we're on 5:15. That's right. Tip-off's 15 minutes earlier, scheduled at least. 5:15 airtime. Girls first, then the boys. For Cameron Eisenberg, we'll be back producing tomorrow. I'm Mark Bailey. We'll talk to you again on Friday.
Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to GorgeRadio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.